ghosts and demons. The realm of the unseen fascinates many. And books and movies on ghosts and demons usually sell very well. And my little daughter, the younger one, recently asked me, "What are ghosts? Do they exist? Can they harm us?" I think all these are good questions. At that time, I also was wondering what sermon to preach. I thought that you may have such questions as well. I thought it good to answer these questions this morning. And I believe the Bible has many things to tell us about ghosts and demons, and to answer all these questions that we have. What is a ghost? According to the Reader's Digest Universal Dictionary, a ghost is the spirit of a dead person supposed to haunt living persons or former habitats. A ghost is the spirit of a dead person supposed to haunt living persons or former habitats. Based on this dictionary meaning, we need to raise a number of questions. Is a ghost really the spirit of a dead person? Can the souls or spirits of dead people return to communicate with the living? And are there such things as haunted houses? Well, these are the questions we want to ask and seek answers from the Holy Scriptures. Now, firstly, ghosts are not human spirits, right? Ghosts are not human spirits. The word ghost occurs a total of 108 times in the Bible. And it's used in two ways. It is used with reference to, number one, the Holy Spirit or the Holy Ghost, who is the third person of the Holy Trinity. And the second usage is this: a ghost can also refer to the soul or spirit of a human being who has just died, as in he gave up the ghost and died, as we read in Genesis 25:17, Job 3:11, Mark 15:37 and 39, and such passages. And insofar as ghost sightings are concerned, we find them a couple of times in the Gospels. In Matthew 14:26, if you turn to it, turn to Matthew 14:26. Matthew 14:26. And here we read, "And in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, 'It is a spirit,' and they cried out for fear." And the word spirit here is not the usual word for spirit, as in psuche or soul or pneuma or spirit, but is the word phantasma in the original. Phantasma, a phantom, a specter, an apparition, a ghost, right? So here, when the disciples cried out, saying, "It is a spirit," they meant, it is a ghost. They thought they had seen a ghost, right? So this is the first occurrence of the word here. Now, of course, Jesus walking on water was not a ghost. He was 100% God and 100% man, with flesh and blood and bones. But it was a miracle that he walked on water, being the Son of God. And this miracle of Jesus walking on the water led the disciples to think that they had seen a ghost. And Jesus immediately identified himself to his disciples and assured them that he was not a ghost, he was not a spirit, he was still in his flesh, right? It was he himself. And this we find in verse 27. When Jesus said, "Be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid." The other occasion was Jesus' post-resurrection appearance. And this time Jesus appeared to his disciples in a locked room. You turn to Luke 24. Luke 24 and verse 36 and 37. In Luke 24, verse 36 and 37, we read, "And as they thus spake, Jesus himself stood in the midst of them and said unto them, Peace be unto you. And they were terrified and affrighted and supposed that they had seen a spirit." Right? Seen a spirit. Now here, the word spirit is the word nephma. Right? Spirit, which is often used to refer to the soul or the immaterial part of man. And by using this word nephma here, or spirit, instead of phantasma, which we read earlier on, a ghost, Jesus was trying to tell his disciples that he was not a disembodied spirit or a disembodied soul, but he was flesh and bones in his resurrection. In his resurrection body. So in verse 39, he assured them, "Behold my hands and my feet, that it is I myself. Handle me and see, for a spirit hath not flesh and bones, as ye see me have." So Jesus was no ghost here, but he was physical and tangible in his glorified or resurrected body. And so, the ghosts that we see in Matthew 14 and Luke 24 relating to Jesus does not tell us that ghosts can return, or the ghosts are the souls or the spirits of dead persons coming back to communicate with the dead. In these two instances, they were mistaken to think that Jesus was a ghost. Jesus was in his flesh, all right? And he communicated to them in his flesh when he was alive, and even after his death and his resurrection, when he came back to communicate with the living, he came back in his flesh, okay? So now the question we want to ask is, what happens to the soul or the spirit of a man when he dies? A man has two parts, the body and the spirit or the soul. Now, when a person dies, what happens to his soul? What happens to his spirit? Now, Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verse 7 tells us what happens to a man when he dies. It says here, "Then shall the dust return to the earth as it was, and the spirit shall return unto God who gave it." So this tells us that man in his two parts, body and spirit, the spirit or the soul can be separated from the body. Okay, it can be separated. And when we die, the body will return to the earth, and then the spirit will return to God. Right? So the body and the soul can be separated. So for those of us who are believers, where does the spirit go to? Where does our soul go to? Our spirit goes immediately to heaven. Right? To heaven. In 2 Corinthians 5 verse 8, we are told, Paul tells us, "We are confident, I say, and willing rather to be absent in the body, or absent from the body, and to be present with the Lord." So for those of us who are believers, those of us who have trusted in the Lord Jesus Christ, those of us who have been given eternal life, once we die, we'll live forever, and our spirit will be with God, with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ in heaven, as Paul tells us, immediately. Right? How about unbelievers? Well, unbelievers, yes, their spirit will also leave their bodies when they die. And when the spirit leaves the body, where will it go? Now, in Luke chapter 16, we have the story of the rich man and Lazarus, and it's a true story. And Jesus tells us that this rich man, when he died, he went straight into a place of torment, hell itself. Lazarus, the beggar, who believed in the Lord Jesus Christ, who believe what Moses and the prophets said about Christ, and by faith believed in the words, the gospel words of the Old Testament, was in heaven, in the bosom of Abraham. So when believers, when they die, immediately they are in Abraham's bosom, which is paradise, which is heaven itself. But the rich man who was not a believer went straight into a place of torment, hell itself. And over there, we see him being in torment, for the rich man also died and was buried, and in hell he lift up his eyes, being in torment, being in pain, being in punishment for all the sins that he had committed and for not believing in the Lord Jesus Christ. So from all these passages, it is very clear that when a person dies, the spirit departs from the body, believers will go straight to heaven, and unbelievers will go straight to hell. There is no such thing as the dead. After they die, the spirits are roaming the earth. They are restless spirits, or they are hungering spirits roaming the earth. No such thing. And no such teaching from the scriptures. Okay. And the Bible teaches that the souls or spirits of the dead are in a bodiless state until the resurrection. And Jesus taught this in John chapter 5. Now please turn with me to John chapter 5. John chapter 5, verse 28 and 29. So now, alright, at the point of death, the spirit of a man will depart from his body. And the believer, the spirit of a believer will be in heaven. The spirit of the unbeliever will be in hell. They are disembodied spirits. They don't have a body, all right, during this time. And they will remain in such a state until the time of the resurrection, all right? In John chapter 5, verse 28 and 29, we read, "Marvel not at this, for the hour is coming in the which all that are in the grave shall hear his voice and shall come forth. They that have done good unto the resurrection of life, and they that have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation." Right? Take note. So there will be a future resurrection for those who are believers as well as for those who are unbelievers. Those who have done good. And you have done good when you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. You confess your sins and repent of your sins and believe on Jesus. You have done good, and you will be resurrected unto life. But those of us, those who do not believe in Christ, who have done evil, who are still in their sins, they will also be resurrected with a body, but it's a resurrection unto damnation, right? To eternal punishment in the lake of fire. And we know this from Revelation chapter 20. Turn to Revelation chapter 20. Revelation 20 tells us of the future resurrection. For those of us who are believers, we will be part of the first resurrection, which is a blessed resurrection unto life, right? Eternal life. And here in verse 5, we read, Revelation 20 verse 5, we read this, "But the rest of the dead lived not until the 1,000 years were finished. This is the first resurrection. Blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection. On such the second death hath no power, but they shall be priests of God and of Christ, and shall reign with him 1,000 years. So the first resurrection is a good resurrection. And the first resurrection is the resurrection of believers. And believers will not experience the second death. And the second death is this judgment of God that will condemn a person, both body and soul, into the lake of fire forever. And this we read later on, right? Look at verse 11. Revelation 20, verse 11. "And I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. and the books were opened. And another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. And they were judged every man according to their works. And you know, by our works we cannot be saved. It is only by the grace of God alone, by faith in Jesus Christ alone. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death, right? Not for believers, but for unbelievers. They will also be raised up. Their spirits will join with their bodies, and then they will stand before the judgment of the great white throne. And when the books are opened, their names are not found in the Lamb's book of life. They will be judged according to their works, and by all their works, they will be condemned. And they'll be cast into the lake of fire forever.
Forever.
Body and soul. So this is what the Bible teaches us about what will become of us. Right? After we die, the spirit will be separated from the body. Believers will go to heaven, and they will exist in the spiritual state waiting for the resurrection of the body that will happen at the coming of Christ. And then once our body and soul are joined together, they'll be joined together permanently. The spirit will be joined to our resurrected body at the time of the rapture, or time of the resurrection, when Christ comes back. And then we will forever be with the Lord. Then those who are unbelievers, their bodies will remain in the grave. Their spirits and their souls will be in hell. And then at the end of the 1,000 years, there'll be the judgment of the great white throne. Then they also will be resurrected, and their bodies and their souls will be joined together, and then they will stand before the judgment of God, the great white throne, and there they'll be cast. They'll be judged and be cast into the lake of fire forever. So, dear friends, God does not want us to stand before the judgment of the great white throne, which is a judgment unto damnation. God wants us to be saved, and God is waiting. He is long-suffering to us, but not willing that any should perish, but all to come to repentance. And judgment has not come yet. And the fact that you're still breathing and still alive reveals the mercy of God and the compassion of God and the patience of God. And if you still have not yet believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, this morning when you hear the gospel, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. Believe right now, and you will be delivered from this judgment to come. You want to be a participant of the first resurrection, not the second, which involves the second death and the lake of fire. You want to be in heaven, don't you? And the only way you can be in heaven, the only way whereby our sins can be forgiven, to be delivered from the wrath of God to come, is to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. And if you will confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God had raised him from the dead, you will be saved. As God had raised Jesus from the dead, we will also be raised from the dead one day. This is the wonderful promise of God and the good news of salvation in Christ. And I pray those of you here who still have yet to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ will believe on him. Today. Do not delay. Salvation is today, because we never can tell when the Lord will take away our life. Our life is not in our hands. And if today you hear his voice, do not harden your heart. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ today, and you will be saved. So, dear friends, this tells us that ghosts are not human spirits. All right, of dead persons who have come back to communicate with us or to haunt us. No, they cannot. Once a man dies, the spirit goes either to heaven or to hell. The spirits do not roam on the earth, all right, as restless and hungry spirits and waiting for you to put out food for them to eat. No, no such thing. Okay. So if these are not spirits of dead persons returning, right, to haunt us or to roam the earth, then what are ghosts? ghouls are demonic spirits. They're not human spirits, but demonic spirits. And that's why, and that's how we explain these ghoul sightings and haunted houses. Now, it was a common conception. It was a common misconception in the ancient times, that is today, that the spirits of the dead could appear or speak to the living. Now, can the spirits of those who have passed away return to haunt or to speak to those who are still alive today? And the answer is no, in the light of the scriptures. When Jesus showed himself to his disciples and spoke to them, he did so in his flesh. And in the Old Testament, God clearly forbade anyone to consult the spirits. In Leviticus chapter 20, verse 6, we are warned, "And the soul that turneth after such as have familiar spirits and after wizards to go a-whoring after them, I will even set my face against that soul and will cut him off from among his people." And Deuteronomy chapter 18, 10-11 also warns us, "There shall not be found among you anyone that useth divination or an observer of times, or an enchanter, or a witch, or a charmer, or a consulter with familiar spirits, or a wizard, or a necromancer." Necromancer is a medium who consults with the spirits of the dead to tell a person's future or fortune. We must never, never go to all these sorcerers and these witches or necromancers to recall the spirits of the dead to communicate to us and to tell us what our future holds. It is an abomination unto the Lord. It's something that the Lord hates. And the Lord commands us, don't do it. We are forbidden. Because the spirits of the dead do not come back to communicate with us. And you go to all these sorcerers and these mediums, tankies or bomos, to call up the dead. And you think that, oh, your dead father or your dead mother has returned to speak to you. These are all deceptive spirits, demonic spirits that speak lies to deceive you. Don't believe them. And God forbids that we should consult all these who divined with familiar spirits who tell your fortune by using all these ways of the occult, of black magic. So stay away from necromancers and fortune tellers. Evil spirits are working in and through such people who delve into the occult and who practice witchcraft and sorcery. If we want to know the will of God, if we want to know what the future holds for us, dear friends, we have a more sure word of prophecy, which is the Bible itself, which you have in your hands. Read the Bible. Dr. Paulie Tan, who spoke to us recently, told us that one out of four verses in the Bible is prophetic. Speaks about the future. So you want to know about prophecy? Whole lot of prophecy in the scripture that we can study from and know for sure what is going to happen to us and to this world, all right, that we live in. Study prophecy. And the next installment or quarter of the RPG concerns the future, concerns the second coming of Christ, concerns the end times. Well, study it. And you'll know what the future holds. We have a more sure word of prophecy. Don't go to all these witches and sorcerers or necromancers. They will tell you a lie. And the spirits that work through them are evil spirits that will deceive you. And you will come under their grip. So take note. So if ghouls are not the returning or roaming spirits of people who have passed away, then what are they? The Bible is very clear. They are the demons. They are evil spirits that are out to deceive people and to destroy their lives. And the Bible describes them as unclean spirits in Matthew chapter 10, verse 1, Acts 5, 16, and Revelation 16, verse 13. They are unclean because they are evil and wicked, sinful and unholy. And these unclean spirits can take possession of a place or a body, whether human or animal, right? And this you can read in Matthew 12:43 and Mark 5:8-13. And this explains haunted houses and demon-possessed people. These are the demons. And if demons can possess human beings, question one asks is, can then demons possess or take over the body of a Christian, of a child of God? Can or cannot? The answer is very clear from the scriptures. Absolutely not. The demons can never take possession of the body of the Christian, because the body of the Christian is the temple of the Holy Spirit. The Christian is already possessed by the Holy Ghost. And being possessed and indwelt by the Holy Ghost or the Holy Spirit, no other spirit, no demonic spirit can come in and take residence also, because the Holy Spirit cannot have a next door neighbor in a demonic spirit. No, cannot. The demonic spirits cannot stand the Holy Spirit because He is holy, and these spirits are evil, and light and darkness cannot live together, cannot exist side by side. When light comes, darkness departs. And these demonic spirits are dark spirits, but the Holy Spirit is the spirit of light and dwells in us. And when the light is on, no darkness can penetrate. So no evil spirit can take possession of the Christian. And that's why Romans chapter 8 verse 9 tells us, but ye are not of the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. And if we have the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit, the Holy Ghost dwelling within us, 1 John 4 verse 4 tells us, ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is He that is the Holy Spirit that is in you than he which is the devil that is in the world. Greater is He that is in us than he that is in the world. So do not be afraid of the devil, and be not afraid of his demons, of these evil spirits, because they cannot touch us, they cannot hurt us, they cannot harm us, because we are the children of God. Well, they may try to tempt us, to set a snare for us and to trap us, to cause us to commit sin against God. They can tempt us with the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. But they cannot take possession of us. And even when they tempt us, we can easily defeat them. If we are filled with the Spirit, if we walk in the Spirit, and yield, right, to the Spirit, and obey the commandments of God. And that's why James in chapter 4 verse 7 tells us the secret how we can defeat the devil at this time. And we are told, submit yourselves therefore to God. Obey His words. Draw close to the Lord, and He will draw close to thee. Read His word. Study His word. Let His words saturate your mind and your heart. And then when you're full of God's word, you will have the power. For when Satan tempts you, you can use the word of God and you can quote the word of God against him. And he will flee from you. Just like Jesus, when he was in the wilderness and he was tempted. You are hungry, turn stone into bread. And Jesus says, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth from the mouth of God. He was quoting the scriptures in Deuteronomy chapter 8. So quote the scriptures, resist the devil and he will flee from you. And the word resist there in James chapter 4 verse 7 is interesting. In the original, it literally means to stand against. Stand against the devil and he will flee from you. How to stand against the devil and resist him? I want to cite a Chinese ghost story as taken from our pastor's book on counseling recipes. Let me read to you this story, which I think illustrates to us how we can resist the devil and stand against him, from this Chinese ghost story. Okay, let me read to you. Taken from this book, Counseling Recipes, written by our pastor. Friendly and jovial Mr. Chen Zaiheng was a fellow clansman who was over 60 years old, relatively old man. One night, while walking along a road in the wilderness, he saw two people carrying a lantern walking in front of him. He walked up to them, hoping to light his pipe, but no matter how hard he tried, the pipe could not be lit. One of them asked him, "Have you passed the first 7 days?" Mr. Chen felt the question very strange and casually replied, "No." That person exclaimed, "That's right. Your life spirit has not completely vanished and hence cannot light this ghost fire." Only then did Mr. Chen realize the pair were ghosts and deliberately asked, "Everyone on earth said people are afraid of ghosts. Is this true?" One of the ghosts replied, "It is not true. Ghosts are afraid of people." Mr. Chen then asked, "What's there to be afraid of?" And the answer is that they will spit on us. Mr. Chen took a deep breath and spat at the ghosts, who retreated 3 steps, opened wide their eyes and said angrily, "Aren't you a ghost too?" Mr. Chen laughed and said, "In fact, I'm a human being who is quite near to becoming a ghost." He spat at the ghost again, and the ghost's bodies were reduced by half. And when he spat the third time, they vanished. The Bible says, "Resist the devil, and he will flee from you." So when you turn on your torchlight or your searchlight and shine into the darkness against all these evil spirits, they'll all vanish away and disappear. So in the name of Jesus Christ, resist and stand against the devil. Do not succumb to him. Do not make a pact with him. And he will become smaller and smaller, weaker and weaker, and finally disappear. How about haunted houses? I know of a church which bought a haunted house for a song, because nobody wants to buy a haunted house. So it was there for a long time. And this church was looking for a church building. So since it was selling very cheap, they bought it. So what happened to the ghosts? Once the church moved in, the ghosts all moved out. Lari kuat kuat in double quick time. Darkness cannot fight against light. Once the light is turned on, the darkness disappears. So if you find a haunted house, let the session know. We may be interested. We have victory over our physical and spiritual enemies, dear friends, because we have our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, who is the light of the world. Jesus says in John 8, verse 12, "I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life." Are you afraid of the dark? Are you afraid of death? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will not only have God's perfect life and perfect life that dispels all darkness, you will also have abundant life and eternal life that will last forever and will not end. May the Lord bless us. Let us pray. Our Father, we thank Thee for the truths we have learned from Thy Word. And we thank Thee that as believers, we have overcome the devil and his demons in the Lord Jesus Christ. Help us not to live in fear, but in the confidence of the Lord Jesus Christ, that we will go on from victory to victory, extending Thy kingdom and conquering the territories of the evil one, hastening the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. So, Lord, we thank Thee for such words of comfort and encouragement from the Holy Scriptures. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.